Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there. This is Dr. Cupertino. Hi there. This is the Dr. Cupertino Show coming on Blog Talk Radio, and already we have a caller in. Who do we have tonight on our talk show talking about the blood and cancer and all kinds of diseases? Who do we have with us tonight? Hello?
Gloria Young.
Gloria Young. Okay, I want you to stay on the air because we have someone else that's calling in. Hold on, Gloria Young. Hold the line.
Hello?
Hi there. We have Gloria Young also on the line, who is calling in tonight to the Dr. Cupertino Show.
Michelle, how are you doing, Doctor?
Hi, Michelle. Hi there. Well, tonight's episode is going to be talking about the blood and how one drop of blood can tell your beginning and your end. It can also talk and tell you things that even your doctor can't tell you, and that's because a lot of diseases are hidden in the blood. And even though they might take a blood test, let me tell you something, there's over 5,000 components that make up blood, the blood content. So if you go into a laboratory and they say, okay, we're going to take a full comprehensive panel, that's only 21 tests. And so if there's over 5,000 markers, my God, they have to test the blood for those 5,000 markers. But we're going to learn further into the show what those markers mean. How can I help you ladies tonight from the Dr. Cupertino Show, streaming live from the city of Torrance?
Well, I was just wondering about the whole concept of cancer and so many people getting it, and I was really starting to get worried. You know, it's like one out of three people, and I was wondering if you can do something to kind of avoid it, or, you know.
Yes, and I think we have another caller calling in. In fact, the whole switchboard is lit up, and I know we're not going to be able to get to everyone, but we have Gloria Young calling in on line 5. Gloria, would you like to help answer Michelle's question? I know there's a lot of cancer going on, and many people, if they don't have cancer, they have a spouse that has cancer. If they don't have a spouse with cancer, there's a child somewhere in the family with cancer. And if not, they know a friend, relative, or other loved ones that have cancer. Gloria, can you kind of jump in there?
Yes, I have. My husband had cancer of the prostate. And
he had or has?
He had the prostate and of the bladder. And they took his bladder out, and they tried to reconstruct it with his intestines. But it's so far gone until they couldn't do that. So now he has like a stoma that he urinates out of. He don't use his penis to urinate. He has a stoma, which I have to every other day change the stoma.
You have to change that, right. Yeah.
And then at nighttime I have to help him because he has like a drainage, overnight drainage bag. That way he can't get up and go to the bathroom all night with that bag, so he has an overnight drainage bag.
We
didn't know about this. He's a veteran, and we didn't even know about this. He had had like a growth on his bladder, and he had had an X-ray, and he was not advised of this spot on his bladder until we went in one day just, you know, for a routine checkup, and one of the nurses asked, well, did you know that you have this spot on your bladder? He said, no. He said, no one ever told me.
So my goodness.
If they had told him before this happened, I think they could have saved it where they wouldn't have to take his bladder out. But by not telling him through this X-ray, they had even had an X-ray that showed this spot on his bladder. But it was nothing done about it. And this
Well, Gloria, you know, I'm just thinking now, when you start talking about cancer in men, it's less harder to get a diagnosis with cancer in men than it is with women. Now, is there any cancer running in his family? I mean, was there a relative that had cancer? I'm pretty sure it was.
But I think his brother had cancer.
Well, normally, if a male has cancer, a female mother, grandmother, great-grandmother has had cancer, and if a woman has cancer, either her father, grandfather or great-grandfather has had cancer or has had it running through their family line. And it's very interesting that I say that. Many people do not know anything about their health history. And I advise people, rather than saying, oh, I'm going to eat right, I'm going to get 8 hours sleep, I'm going to drink a lot of water, you really, when you go into your primary physician for any kind of checkup, they sometimes, but they really don't ask for the health history. What they will ask for is something immediate, or either they'll say, can you tell us a little bit about your relative's health? And if you say, oh, no, I don't know, then they don't take the necessary caution to order tests that will go back 3 to 4 generations. And that's really what some of the very, very, very professional doctors and medical clinics are actually doing. They're just not stopping at that person with cancer and saying, well, I'm looking at his health forms and I don't see where grandmommy, grandpa, anyone like that had cancer, so let's just treat him as is. It's usually best to do the testing that will lead to either the first, second, third, or fourth generation back to determine whether or not only will the person right there, the sufferer, in 2009 with cancer, either he's going to be treated or he's not, but that kind of testing will lead into the future as to whether his son or daughter, his grandchildren will even have cancer. And I feel people really want to know that. I know if I'm at my age over 50, and I come down diagnosed with cancer, sure, I'm going to worry about me in the immediate. But I sure would want to know, oh, my goodness, should I tell my daughter to have my grandkids go in and have some kind of blood test taken, or should I even talk to my daughter personally or my son and say, listen, I've been diagnosed with cancer, you ought to do it. And I'm saying that, Gloria, because you mentioned that your husband had those type of cancers. Now, has he gone on to talk with his daughter or maybe his daughter's kids to say, listen, daddy has had cancer. Why don't you guys just go in for a routine test, order the blood test. There's a lot of cancer markers that start with CA, like CA25 for ovarian, CA19, and other tests that start with CA. Those are tests for cancer, and you don't have to wait until you come down with a diagnosis with stage 3 cancer. You can go in any time of the month, any time of the year, and say, okay, I haven't had any blood tests for cancer. I don't care how much they are. I want to take those tests. And, Michelle, I'm thinking that you might also be interested in something like that.
That's a very good idea.
Well, it's not a bad idea, because most of us walking around do not know what our great-great-grandfathers had. And I'm going to be quite frank. There are some diseases that affect the thyroid and the stomach, even in stomach cancers, that skip generations. Medical studies have shown people back in the 1700s and 1800s that have had something similar to cancer. Those cancers are skipping generations, meaning grandmother may have cancer, none of her kids will have cancer, but the grandchildren are coming down with cancer. So you don't have to wait until you go in for some kind of a routine physical and then hear, oh, I got cancer. Every 6 months, with best, even though your doctor might say, oh, well, no, you had this test last year, you only have to have it every 2 years, the FDA, the DEA, whatever says you can wait 3 years for a test, don't buy that. Every 30 days, you have new cells. Every year, you have a complete new bloodstream, blood system.
Wow.
Every 3 to 5 years, you get a brand new bone marrow and skeletal system. So what?
Now with that colonoscopy, they tell you that you don't have to have that, but every 5 years.
Oh, no. I would, even if I had low-end insurance, I would make sure every 6 months, what is it going to cost? A couple of dollars to stay on top of that. Let's assume you go in 2000 and have the colonoscopy that you said that they claim you can have that every 5 years. Okay, you go in 2000 and they say, oh, you don't have anything. But what happens if in 2001, here this cancer, which has already been there, comes into full manifestation? Are you going to wait 4 years, even though you might not feel okay, because the test missed it because it's 2000, but that cancer was getting ready to manifest the end of 2000. That means you're living with a growing cancer for 4 years before you run back in there, and the doctor said, oh my, okay, we have found cancer. What do you mean you found cancer? The cells have already been there.
And then just like a doctor, when you go to the doctor, when they ask you anything about your parents or your grandparents, they just ask you, have they had diabetes or have they had high blood pressure? That's the only thing they ask you. They don't ever ask you if they had cancer or anything like that.
I know that. And then here's another bad part about that. If they ask you, Miss Gloria, have your mother, father, your grandparents had cancer, and you say, oh, I don't know. All they're going to write down is unknown, and they keep on. But they're not going to say, well, if you don't know, we're going to spend an extra maybe 15 minutes at the lab drawing another vial of blood. And when you go in to have your blood test taken, they have yellow tops on some of those vials. They have purple, red. All of those mean certain things. So if you go in for blood tests, and this is for all the listeners nationwide, when you go in for your blood test, and if they draw blood, meaning in just one application, meaning just enough for one vial, maybe two, you are not getting a comprehensive panel. And keep in mind, I said earlier that there's over 5,000 tests that they can get from a drop of blood. So even if you go in and ask for a comprehensive blood type panel, that's only 21. So my God, 4,000 something is still being missed. But that's better than nothing, because those 21 can give more or less an overview. And if something comes back a little crazy on your blood test, your physician is supposed to say, oops, you know what, this is high. I think I'm going to order this, or I need her back in, and so forth and so on and so on. So, you know, you really have to take responsibility for your own health care, because once 5 or 6 o'clock comes in these medical clinics, Dr. Bogo is going home to Simi Valley, Thousand Oaks, or wherever, and he's not going to appear back on the scene until the next morning at 10 a.m., So he's going to see maybe 50, 60 more people, and then the next day 50, 60 more. So where does that leave you coming in on a Monday, a pee in a pod, and then by Friday he hardly even knows his own name? We've got to be more proactive with
attending
care for health.
When I go to a doctor, I'm going to ask for that.
Yes,
you can ask for that.
That's
what I'm going to do. But thank you. You are so informative. I really appreciate that. Thanks a lot.
Okay, Michelle.
That's what I'm going to do.
Okay.
Thank you, Doctor.
Well, you're more than welcome. You're more than welcome.
Okay.
Gloria, are you still with us?
Yes.
Okay, I'm not going to bring in this other caller because right now I want you to also tell our listeners what your husband has been eating, what has he been taking since he's had prostate cancer, and he's obviously still living. What are some of the things he is doing now to stave off another diagnosis of cancer?
Well, actually, I'm giving him a lot of green vegetables and different things like that. Before, he was maybe eating hamburgers and things like that, but now I'm really having more of a compact diet for him.
Okay, now is this something your primary physician told you to do, or is this something that common sense and reading and researching on your own has told you to do?
It's common sense and reading and listening to the people, because the doctor can tell you, they'll tell you one thing, and that upsets the stomach.
That's very true. And another thing, if you really have a physician that has not done the background work necessary for you as a patient, there's a good possibility that something can be missed. Now, in stating that your husband had cancer, how early was this cancer detected? Was he going back and forth to the doctor, and then all of a sudden he was diagnosed? Well, tell us a little bit about the history of his cancer.
Actually, what happened, he had went to the VA, Veterans Administration.
VA?
Yeah, the VA, they had taken a test of him, and this spot was on there, I guess maybe about a year and a half, And just so happened he had got sick and he was having problems with his stomach. And we went, and this nurse, she said, had anybody advised him about the spot that he had on the bladder? And we said, no. She said, well, it's a spot on his bladder. So right then, they started really working right then. But this had been a year and a half. And when they went in there, they said they found out that it was cancer.
But After about a year and a half. Okay, now, Gloria, I just got an email here. A caller or someone that's on the Blog Talk listening, they want to know what the age of your husband was when he first became knowledgeable that he had cancer.
He was 74,
okay. And there's been the only history of cancer was with his brother that he's aware of.
Right.
Well, why do you think it took them a year and a half to come back with another diagnosis? Did you ever get any information on that?
Oh, no. We went to the higher-up, the administrators, and they said that they don't know why this was missed. I said, this is somebody's life that you're playing with. You don't know why it was missed. I said, well, does it need to take in a test if you're not going to give the person the results of that test?
Right. That's very true. Well, I don't know if you realize it, but in the state of California, there are some hospitals, and I won't name the name, that do actually do the blood test. They do not allow, because of insurance reasons, but at least that's what they say, because of the insurance reasons, they do not allow the patients to have their own copies of blood tests because they do not want them, according to their literature, to try to self-treat themselves and then come back later, a year or two later, and try to sue the hospital. But if you go to various labs, such as Direct Labs and Labs.com, these are people that will send you into various clinics across the nation. You do not need a doctor's prescription or a doctor's acquisitional write-up to have those tests. All you do is go online and they will, but you have to pay up front with a credit card. And once your credit card is charged, they send out an acquisition. And you take that acquisition to the closest lab to your home or your place of work or your place of business, and they actually draw the blood and then send you the results yourself. Now, they do have a disclaimer that they cannot actually call you back or have you call them for lab interpretation. If you ask for your blood test to be interpreted, they will refer you to another clinic that will actually be a walk-in site for you to go in and take those tests and get some kind of clarification. Or, you know, you can still go online and ask for blood interpretation results,
well,
and chances are you can get that.
That's true, but he, by him being a veteran, he has all of his medical out there to be A3.
Oh, well, that's a blessing there. That really is. Well, what kind of medications is he taking now?
Oh, he takes taken several. I don't even have all the bottles that he's taking.
Really? Well, Gloria, how is his weight? I got another email here wanting to know with the, application that he's using.
After the surgery, he's at his just one level weight. He had, actually, when he first had the surgery, he had lost about 20 pounds. But he's gained
20 pounds.
Now he weighs now about 145.
145.
Yeah.
Now, is that stable? I mean, if from a week
that's
to week, month
now.
To month, is it still that weight?
Well, that's stable now.
That's stable. I have another email here. Another listener wants to know his nationality and whether or not you think because of his nationality, whatever that might be, if he was more prone to cancer.
Well, he's black, so.
He's African. Oh, okay.
African American. I don't think so.
Okay, because there are some reports that, and they're really hotly contested by the African American race. There are studies that show African American men are number one on the list for prostate, kidney, and bladder cancer. Have you read anything on that, Gloria?
No, actually, I was starting to read some about it, but after he had his surgery and he was okay, I guess I just forgot about it.
Well, yeah, I think that study was also started many, many years ago. I don't think it's anything new. And they claim that among African-American men, prostate cancer, bladder, kidney, And stomach cancer is all, oh my goodness, and also that colon cancer being high up there too, as really afflicting the African American men more than other men. And when I hear that, you know, I sit and I think, I says, well, if that's the case, what's going on in the African American scientific, physical, and medical history down through the ages that might accompany that type of a study and the results of that study? And then what are they eating? A lot of people say what African American men eat also has a lot to do with those type of cancers. Now, I noticed you didn't mention colon cancer. Was he checked, your husband, was he checked for colon cancer?
He don't have that.
He doesn't have that. Now, he's already had a colonoscopy. I know you had mentioned that earlier. Now, did he get a copy of those results, or was he just told he's okay?
No, he was just, he told him that he had a few polyps, and they took
a few
polyps out. And they went
Oh, okay. Now, when is your husband going back to have that checked? Because if you have polyps anywhere there in the colon, those really have to be watched. I know I have some clients that have gone in and had them actually lasered off rather than have them fester there in the colon, and then a year or two down the line, something happens and they manifest then at that time as cancerous. Have you spoke with your husband about that?
He goes every six months.
Well, Gloria, since we're talking about cancers now, we haven't touched on you. How is your health, and have you been able to get into a physician and get tested?
Yes, I just had a colonoscopy and this other thing where they put that machine down your throat. What is that called?
Oh, okay, okay.
Endoscopy or something like that.
And you've had that, and now what were the results?
Well, on that result that I had, my colon is good, but I had bacteria in the bottom of my stomach.
Oh, okay. Well, you really probably, if you can, anytime bacteria is found, there's infection there. There's no ifs, ands about it, and mostly bacteria is caused by fungal and fungus and yeast. Those type of issues can cause that. So if you can sort of, and I'm not giving you any unsolicited advice, but if you can stay away from yeast, you'll feel a lot better.
Okay.
Yes, indeed. Well, Gloria, thank you so much for calling. I'm going to take another caller here. Thank you so much for calling, and keep in touch with the Dr. Cappuccino Show, because we'd love to hear from you.
Yes, I will, doctor. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome, Gloria. Okay, bye-bye. Boy, you know, that was very interesting. So many people have issues with cancer, and they really don't know what to do. And Gloria was able to give us a little bit of insight there on what to do and what not to do if you actually have cancer. And I'm very happy about that. You know, it's always good to have people call in, because when you do that, you don't have to worry about, oh, should I call in? Am I going to get a chance to really speak with the doctor? Is there anything that I might not want to hear? Hey, to know what's going on in the body, I mean to really know what's going on in your body, it is best to go and be tested. But on the other end, it's best to know what you're going to be tested for. It's best to find out in advance what tests are really necessary to show exactly what's going on in the body. And as I always say, the Internet, it used to be a day, and that wasn't long ago, when you had to research through medical books, the Merck Manual, and other older manuals that were available to the actual layman, and get information out of those books, which would be gruelous. And when you got that, if there was some kind of a word, you know, big long medical word that you were not sure of, you'd have to go and look that up in a medical dictionary, and then again, what was that? But right now, all you have to do, let's take for instance colon cancer, just get to a computer, type in colon cancer. It's going to take you to a site which is, oh my goodness, it could be hundreds of thousands of informative sites you can go to just on that one hit. But if it's you could even put in colon cancer first stage and get information there. So there is no reason for anyone in 2009 to be confused or not know where to go for information regarding their illness. Now, I know many of you are listening because you want to hear Dr. Cupertino talk about the blood. One drop of blood, remember we said at the beginning, it can tell your beginning and your end. It can tell if you are victim to named and unnamed diseases. It can prolong your life or prematurely destroy your life. If not kept free flowing, oh my goodness, fed and cleansed, you know you can have problems. Now, I'm going to speak metaphysically about the true nature of the bloodstream. Now, someone's going to say, oh, my God, the true nature of the bloodstream. Why do I want to know about that? Is it really necessary? What good is it going to do me to actually find out about the true nature of the blood? Well, I can tell you right now, it's going to do a lot of good, and it's going to do a lot of good because most doctors don't understand the full scope of the role of blood. Now, they learned in medical school, but esoterically, no. Scientifically, yes. Metaphysically, no. Physiologically speaking, yes. But we're going to find out why, even at this point, none of them can talk about the eternity and the immortality of the blood and why, in the first place, is the human body built with hundreds and hundreds of feet of veins by which the blood pumps through. Why was the human body created with a lymphatic system, a circulatory system? Why does a body need this red liquid? And some say it's not red, it's really black, it's only red when it hits the oxygen outside the body, and it's a deep burgundy, it's brown, it's black, so forth and so on and so on. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about that, but I want to first talk about a very interesting gentleman. As you know, October was Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and next week we're going to step aside and hear from Mr. J.D. Nelson. Now, Mr. Nelson is going to be our guest next week, and I'm just so happy to be able to have him come aboard and help us with this thing called cancer, because his mother and aunt both died from cancer. So this man is very knowledgeable emotionally as well as, I would say, academically in talking to us next week about cancer. I'm pretty sure with a mother and aunt that died from cancer, he has been touched and has a lot to tell us about cancer. And even though he's never had cancer, he still lives in fear of being diagnosed with cancer. Mr. Nelson is also a lifelong smoker, plagued by cancer not only regarding his mother and aunt, but really on both sides of his family. He also stated that to me that his father was also diagnosed with kidney cancer 20 years ago. So we can really imagine the fear that he felt after he had a routine physical and to hear his doctor say, oh, my God, I saw something suspicious on your X-ray, and I need to schedule a CAT scan. Boy, I bet you he was just gripped with fear, knowing his family history and then also the bad lifestyle choices that he was absolutely petrified by. But this fear drove him to research for alternative treatment that, you know, just in case he did have cancer, he might be able to turn cancer into something other than just a pure death sentence. But he wrote about his experience in a new book called You Versus Cancer. And the winner is. Now, he's going to speak with us about his book, his story, what made him decide to write his book, and whether or not his information is supposed to be a cure for cancer. He's going to also talk about the science behind the protocol for the cancers outlaid in this book, and why we should even consider listening to him regarding about an alternative way to go as backup support for cancer. And he's going to also mention some complementary treatments and just a lot of good stuff. And so I'm pretty sure you will want to also hear how someone can protect their pets when they have cancer. So please be sure to tune in next week and hear next Wednesday and hear this story from Mr. Nelson, who was born in Kingston, Jamaica, and just a wonderful guy. He's a CPA right now and just really holding a lot of good positions, helping a lot of people. So tune in next week and hear this fascinating story from a man. You know, normally women are first and foremost to come forward with their cancers. But most men, I know Patrick Swayze, that the actor that died recently, he came forward with his cancer. And now the former basketball star, what's his name? I think it was Abdul-Jabbar, something of that sort. Oh, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, my assistant is helping me. Right. Now he's just came down with his story about cancer in men and some of the treatment. I believe his physician was also on national television discussing that. But tune in next week. One drop of blood, not a pint, not a gallon, not a half pint, not a bathtub full. One drop of blood, it can truly tell your beginning. And that's because even scripturally and scientifically, life is in the blood. People think that walking around in their body, which is merely just a shell, an outward form of expression of who they really are, is it. When you're talking with people and they might be angry and you might be speaking with them about lifestyle choices, your son and your daughter, maybe something your husband has done, and you stand and say, look at you. What are you doing with your life? What's going on? And then they will take their hands or their fist and they'll kind of pound their chest and say, don't talk to me. This is my life. I'll do what I want to do. In essence, they're hitting the body, meaning that the body itself constitutes their life. But truly, scripturally, the Bible says in Leviticus that life is in the blood, and the medical profession says the same thing, because at the time of one's demise, there's always a chance with the right machinery, if you're not brain dead, if the oxygen has not sufficiently left out of the body, they can give you some CPR and whatever, there's a chance that you can become revived. Not all the time, but in some cases. That's why if someone is found unconscious, the first thing someone is going to do that's trained in CPR is to administer that form of treatment with the hopes that the person, before they become a pronounced corpse, can actually be revived. But once that blood is pumped out of the body, there's no chance that that body can be revived. Now, if you trust Hollywood and some of the people producing the horror movies where they're pronounced dead and you see them rise out of a casket, that's another thing. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about regarding the human body, the human outside of the boundaries of Hollywood. Once the blood is gone, there's nothing there. Now, we're talking about the blood. One drop. What is found in the blood? Before you can have any type of surgery, any type of really good, decent, competent professional medical care, your doctor will order blood test. That's because in the blood test, in that profile thereof, they can determine what your phosphate levels are, They can detect also how high your sugar is in the body. They can also detect whether or not you have kidney problems, liver problems, anything going on in the body can be found out with a blood test in some cases. Now, there are some cases where actual diagnosis has not been correct and have been in error because the blood tests were in error. But basically, with blood, anything going on in the body that is adverse or that might be good is found in the blood, in the bloodstream. Your blood also contains the necessary minerals, and your blood also contains the necessary nutrients. Your blood also contains the necessary electrolytes, and I could go on and on and on. Issues, elements in the blood that will keep the body sufficiently alive because we are an electrical body. People will say, well, what do you mean by that? The body is an electrical issue. The heart is pumping on the basis of internal combustion and electricity, a form of electricity. And so in the blood, all of these components together make up the life in the bloodstream that aids the body to have its being and to have its movements also according to scripture. So the DNA, your heritage, your medical heritage, even from an emotional counterpoint, all of those things that keep the brain functioning. Without the bloodstream being pumped through the brain, my goodness, there would be no life in the body. So that blood, and I'm saying this in a layman term, so I won't be treading into too far into the medical area because we all know how they are. I don't want to get a letter saying that Dr. Cupertino is practicing medicine. I wouldn't want to practice it anyway if I could. And I'll just leave that at that, because if this is as far as advanced as we've gotten with 1 out of 3 with cancer, over 10 million walking around with diabetes, and I could go on and on with all of these so-called incurable diseases, 20 million with high blood pressure undiagnosed, then I think there's something going on there that President Obama needs to look into further than just passing a healthcare bill with the help of you know who. But basically, no, I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in putting information into the hands of the layman so that they will be more or less more willing to try not so much an alternative way, but ways that will help them possibly prevent issues before they get out of hand. But this red liquid from the days of Egypt, the great Greek doctors, those that studied the human body metaphysically, they were interested in what was happening with the blood. And since so much could be told by a drop of blood or the blood, they were interested in whether or not the body itself carried disease, or did disease start in the bloodstream? What's going on? Well, they found out, and you can look this information up too for yourself. The early Egyptians found out that, no, it was not the body that carried diseases, but that disease started in the bloodstream, in the blood, by way of blood itself. So they felt that the proper way to even attempt to prevent a lot of problems that would disage the body, age it prematurely, they thought the best way to ward off diseases was to keep a clean bloodstream. Meaning, if the blood is kept pure, the body will be kept purified. If the bloodstream was kept not so much as clean, the cleanse, but if it was kept in a detoxified state from waste and a lot of toxins, then the body itself would be kept clean. That's why even in our modern day medical world, they say that if the blood is able to freely flow through the body, then there's a pretty good chance that the body can live to be 100 and over. That's why they're cautioning us to have more exercise, to keep moving the body, helping that blood pump through the body as it should, rather than stagnate in the body. But so many diseases that do not even have a name are now being located in the bloodstream. And that's because there's various forms of parasites, varicites, and other type of SITES, vermin, internal vermin, that's also tearing the body down bit by bit. Because let's face facts, if the life is in the blood and you have a disease that needs to continue functioning and living within the body, guess what? That disease is feeding off of what? The bloodstream. That disease or the parasites themselves are being kept alive by feeding off of your blood. That's why when people get cancer or they're diagnosed with cancer, most of them become very, very thin, because that cancer is living off of the bloodstream. And when the body does not have a free-flowing bloodstream where the nutrition is there, the nutrients are there, the internal phytonutraceuticals are there, then the body tends to lose weight, and gradually, the body becomes so emaciated that the host, meaning the person, the body, cannot go on. So a lot of diseases that there are no names, and that there haven't been any type of good diagnostic tools for determining what it is or what type of disease it is, it's, that can cause problems too. Now, when we talk about prematurely destroying the body, these are what most of the diseases do, because the bloodstream, blood picks up every bit of vileness. If we do not watch what we drink or what we eat, everything we eat and drink, it has to pass through our body, and the body has to break it down, the stomach, the digestive system, and then send that off into the blood. This is why people now have turned to eating and drinking and even living according to their blood type. There's four main blood types: A, B, A, B, and O, and then you have the Rh factor. But if you study the various elements of the blood types, people will find out that that A blood type really has to be kept clean, because that particular blood type has a tendency to pick up every little bit of issue that might be very harmful to the body, A blood type. And most people don't know that, or they would be having their blood tested more often. In fact, you have millions walking around, don't even know what their blood type is, and then not also realizing that if they get in an accident and on the way to the hospital they need emergency blood, oh my goodness, the adverse effect could be fatal. If they do not know what their blood type is, and in an effort to save their life, they're just given some. That is very dangerous. So it's always good if an individual can carry a blood type card. This used to be mandatory, and I think I said this last week, even before you got married, you had to have some blood tests. You have to know what's going on. But because we're moving in lightning, at a lightning speed pace, and we're paying for that. We're actually paying for living a fast lifestyle. Can't get in a hospital or a medical clinic quick enough. But back to the blood typing. If you want to prolong your life, if you want to prolong the life of your children, please have them tested for their blood type and make sure that blood type is on them. There's even people tattooing their blood type on their bodies so as to make sure that they will be okay. But let's talk a little bit while we have the time concerning keeping the blood free flowing. There's a lot of talk out there about atherosclerosis and atherosclerosis, and also cholesterol. High cholesterol from fatty foods, fried foods, and stress. When a person is under stress and eat fatty food, fried food, that has a tendency to formulate on the inside of the arteries and then clog up, and then the blood does not have a free range for its velocity to be pumped through the body or through the circulatory system in the body. Each time that heart pumps that blood out back through into one vein, out another, back through the body, if there's any blockages there by this thing, this stuff, this substance called high cholesterol or bits of plaque inside of the arteries, then that leads to high blood pressure, and it also leads to stroke, aneurysms, a lot of nasty issues that can be avoided. But remember, we're on the subject tonight about the blood. So if the life is in the blood, and it is, and it's trying to pump through a person's veins and arteries, and there's blockages on the inside of those arteries because of this food, even liquids, anything that contains an overabundance of fatty substance, you're going to have a problem. An individual is going to have a problem, and most people do not realize aneurysms come from a lot of high plaque there in the arteries. So we really want to make sure that we speak with our primary physician for tests to determine whether or not we do have a predisposition to any kind of substance that might mimic cholesterol inside the arteries that we can deal with, especially as backup support from an alternative standpoint, something that we can do rather than go on these hardcore drugs. I know most of the drugs that come out within a year or two, they're not any good, they're recalled, or there's multiple deaths, and then they say, oh, okay, we're going to recall the drug. But my God, what happened with the testing and the approval of the drugs in the first place? So we want to be sure that when we're talking about life being in the blood, you want to feed the bloodstream with life, life to life, life to life. You want to keep that bloodstream clean because life is in the blood. And since life is in the blood, we want to eat living foods. And most people are not doing that. Living foods are foods that is directly picked from the earth and consumed within a very immediate time period after they come from the earth. A lot of leafy greens, and I know people don't like this. You know, I was talking to my friend, and he says when he's in the restaurant going along with the buffet restaurants, even as he says these Sunday champagne buffets, he said people are just cradling up, piling up all types of food on their plates, and he says he looks over. And it's not funny, but I'm just chuckling. He says he looks over at the salad bar, and there's only a few there. And if they are there, they're getting things like eggs and the fruit. He says they're not eating that. And, of course, we know down the road they're going to be in a very sad, sorry state. But if we can eat more leafy greens, anything that's green in the, from the vegetation family, those are things that can also help our bloodstream stay clean. But I want to touch on this metaphysically. I had someone once many, many years ago tell me that. He says, doctor, listen, I'm going to tell you a secret. He says, now, regarding blood, not so much the color of it, but the fact that it's liquid. He says, blood, from a scriptural standpoint, means that a life has come about because of another life. And he says when the sperm meets the ova of the egg in the female, that starts a feeding on the female blood cycle because there's no more monthly cycles as long as she's pregnant and expecting. And that her blood and the life in her blood is giving the fetus, the embryo, the fetus, life. And without that form of blood, even minute, there is no life. And he says that's how eternity and immortality comes about. He said as long as there's this red liquid substance, there's always going to be life on the planet. As long as the book, I says, really? And he says, yes. He says people think water is what is sustaining the planet Earth, and that's feeding the plants and shrubberies and the waterways. He says, no, it's the blood. He says, because that blood in its liquid state, He said that is what's causing life to continue. He says because without the aspects of the blood, there would be no need for water because that life draws on life. And I thought that was interesting. I really didn't understand the full concept of that, but I thought and thought and thought, and I says, you know what? There's no accident that water is a liquid and blood is a liquid, and the earth certainly, the stratosphere is surrounded by the expanse of water, and then the human body is made up of 75 or whatever percent, at least 70 and over, of water. So life drawing on life is what sustains the body. But esoterically, when you start thinking in terms of the blood, once that blood is not free-flowing, if the heart stops in the body and it's not able to circulate through the arteries, through the vein, guess what? The body dies. So that blood, that liquid, has to ever continue flowing. You will never find a living body, a living soul, the living physical part, component of the body alive, without the blood freely flowing. It's like money. As long as you keep it into circulation, you'll always have it. As long as you keep the bloodstream flowing, as long as it's kept flowing freely in the body, you'll always have life. But cut that off, and the body immediately is in a death-like state. Once that blood cannot circulate or does not circulate in the body, it's immediate death. So esoterically speaking, anything that is not kept flowing internally as well as externally, you can find stagnated death of finances, death of good relationships, well, good and bad relationships, death of dreams, death of the capacity to move forward when you know you need to move forward, death in your ability to let go of people and circumstances that we might know we need to let go of. But as long as internally the body is flowing and we have our life being, then that gives us an opportunity to clean up our act on the outside of the body. Remember the laws of attraction. As is above, so is below. If I'm toxic inside, I'm attracting toxic circumstances. I don't need to go to my church and beg my minister, pastor, for prayer. Because, and then go back thinking everything's going to be okay. Internally, if I'm not taking care of myself internally, then externally, I'm a nervous wreck. I might be walking around in St. John and Christian Louboutin shoes or Versace or what have you. I'm really a nervous wreck. I'm really killing myself. I'm undoing myself. I'm mistreating myself. So our good health, our life, internally, that the blood that gives us our life, by way of the blood, the life we have should be used to attract externally our good. You don't have to sit and chant. You don't have to cry and pray all night. It's good to pray. I pray. I'm a walking prayer. I tell people I don't have to stop and pray. I pray. I'm praying right now while I talk to you that you're getting good advice. But if you clean up your life internally, automatically the external world, you're going to see people leave that you did pray to leave and they were still there. You did everything to get rid of them. You're going to look up and they will be no more. Once you get your life cleaned up internally by way of the blood, meaning clean your body, your bloodstream, get the life that is within you straight outside of the body, you're going to see the crooked ways straighten themselves up. You won't have a problem because the body itself internally will cry out for that of which it is. I know when I go on a fast and I stay with my vegetable drinks and I'm eating my salads like I should and I'm thinking straight as best I can, it just appears that things, the world looks rosier. I'm not as maybe mean on a Monday. I'm not really sad on a Tuesday. I'm not sore and hurting and pain on a Wednesday. I'm not fussing with people on a Thursday. I'm not hoping and crying on a Friday because I made up my mind that I'm going to clean up my body, my bloodstream. I'm going to get my bloodstream clean. And the All-American Holistic Healthcare Clinic has a very good product called Blood Repair. We're talking about blood this evening. It's called Blood Repair. It's a liquid. It's not exactly a bestseller because people know when you clean up your bloodstream, you are going to be cleaning up a lot of other issues that should be clean. And most people are not ready for it. It's too easy to cry and put the blame on other aspects as to why things are not going good in your life. But this liquid that's called Blood Repair is actually used by several that are actual patients and also those that really love just getting clean because they also know that it's normally best for them. And in fact, we have a caller. Hello, caller. Hello. Are you there?
Hello.
Hi there. Hi there. Are you there?
I'm here.
Hello, caller. Hi there. Hi there. We're talking about the blood and cancer and just a lot of things that we know the listeners are interested in. Can I have your name?
My name is Reverend Fran Taylor.
Hi, Reverend Taylor. Well, I'm glad we have a reverend that's called in. Well, listen, we're talking about the blood and keeping the bloodstream clean. Can you give us a little bit of information on that, or did you have a question?
Well, both.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
I know I've learned how important the blood is from your lecture, and I understand about the blood types and how important they are, and it's really important when you're ill to know your blood type and to eat according to your blood type so that the body is not stressed in the process, in the healing process. And it is amazing to me how we can tell what's going on in your body through the blood.
Well, you know, I'm really glad to hear you talk about that. And since you are a reverend, I'm going to invite you back also next week. And the listeners will want to hear from a woman of the cloth because we have J.D. Nelson who will be calling in from Atlanta, Georgia. He's going to be
wonderful.
Also hosting show, yes. And he's going to talk about cancer on his mother, his father's side, and his aunt, and how that his mother died from cancer. This is really going to be an excellent show, but I would love to have you on next week to kind of jump in there. And the reason I'm saying that is because not really knowing from a pastoral standpoint what the quotas are with cancer in the church, I would like to have you speak also online with Mr. Nelson because he will be coming from that standpoint, and he's also going to talk about his new book also regarding cancer. So can I invite you back next week at the same time? I know we were a little long-winded, but we have only 1 minute left, and I need you back. So can you promise the listeners that you will call us back?
Will.
Okay, well, this is going to be stay online, Reverend, because we have some questions later on. But this has been the Dr. Cupertino Show. As you know, we're now on for 1 hour, and we're just so happy that we are on. And this will be the third time that we've had a minister call in to join us, and especially a female minister. Reverend Taylor will be with us again also next week. She'll be joining us with J.D. Nelson, who skipped us for October, which is Breast Cancer Month, but he will not do that again. We're going to be asking a lot of questions about cures for cancer and what we can do with those in our family that have cancer or that have been diagnosed and that just feels, oh, well, I don't want anything to do with alternative medicine. I don't think it's worth anything. I don't think it's going to work. He's going to be on the show. And Reverend Taylor also, I think I'm very familiar with Reverend Taylor, and she has a story to tell about cancer in her family.
Absolutely.
Tune in, please, next week, and thank you for listening to the Dr. Cupertino Show on Blog Talk Radio. Good night.
Good night.